Hey, you guys, time for another book review. This is another novel that came recommended on the Kindle Unlimited subscription that I have. It was just one of, you know, many that sort of came up that you could read for free that was kind of similar to ones that I had read before. And this is a novel called Winterset Hollow. Now, I believe this is the debut novel of a guy named Jonathan Edward Durham. This book came out back in September of 2021. Now, interestingly, I looked a little bit, like I just kind of skimmed the author's bio, and interestingly, he's from Philadelphia, and he actually started out, he got a degree in neuroscience, and did a lot of, did work in that area, but then he was just kind of like, well, I think I'd rather be a writer, which I get it. It's really funny, this is like apropos of nothing, but it was just like, I was on Goodreads, and I was like, just out of curiosity to see like what other people thought of this book, like after I finished it. And the first review, like on the first page of Goodreads, is from him, like the author. And he says, because it's like a 5-star rating, he's like, I didn't mean to accidentally like rate my own book 5 stars, LOL. And then he's like, and then I felt the need to like come on here and make a written review, like to explain myself. And he called like the inside of his head an anxiety volcano. And again, I was just kind of like, I feel you. I feel you on that as well. So he just seems like a really, just from that brief exchange, he just seemed like a really funny, like nice dude. And, you know, from what I've seen of like other people that kind of know a little bit more about him, like he seems like a really nice dude. So this book, this is really interesting. I don't think that this is normally something that I would have picked up necessarily because it's kind of more dark fantasy than horror. Oh, it's definitely horror. I'm not saying that. It goes like full on fucking gory, violent horror, like toward the end. But it also has like a dark fantasy thing. And like I said, I didn't, when I find a book like on Kindle Unlimited, I'm just kind of like, oh, that cover looks cool. Or I like the title or something. Or it's like an author that I've read their stuff before. And it's like, I really liked it. I don't usually read the synopsis or anything other than maybe like the first sentence, because I like to go into things like not knowing what it's about. And so I'm kind of glad that I didn't read the synopsis of this, because I might not, because like I said, it's kind of more dark fantasy, which isn't usually my thing. I do read some like that, but it's not usually the first thing that I would pick. I'm more kind of into, you know, haunted houses or psychological horror or slashers, you know, stuff like that. So I'm really glad that I didn't really look into what this book was about before I read it, because I really didn't have much of an idea where it was going, and it was just like, and it turned out being like really, really cool. So here's, okay, anything I say about this book, like I said, I feel like I say this on a lot of my reviews, but if you don't want to know anything about this book, I knew like literally nothing about this book other than like the title and the fact that there's like a little bunny on the cover, and that's it. I just decided I was going to read it, just dove right in. And I liked that because, again, I had no idea where the fuck this thing was going to go. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is happening. This is okay. I'm rolling with this. And it's like, and I ended up really, really liking it. So if you don't want to know anything about it, then obviously you can't watch this. But if you need me to pitch it for you a little bit before you get into it, imagine a mashup of, this is going to sound bizarre, but this is exactly what this reminded me of. Imagine a mashup of Winnie the Pooh and Watership Down crossed with The Most Dangerous Game. Okay? That's pretty much the three things that kept coming into my head like while I was reading this. If that sounds good to you, then that's pretty much exactly what this book is. So you will probably really dig it. So here's the setup. Our main character is a guy named Eamon Buckley. He's kind of like a younger guy. Now, they don't go a huge amount into his background, but there is enough to kind of like get a picture of it. So apparently he grew up with only his dad. Like, that's the only other person that he knew for like the first, I believe it was 12 years or 14 years of his life. Because his dad is kind of one of those dudes that just like lives out in the woods, like off the grid, and they grew all their own food or hunted for all their own food. And the dad was kind of like, you know, kind of one of those, like I said, prepper paranoid type of dudes. And he's just like, there's no reason for you to go out into the world. It sucks. And, you know, there's nobody out there, you know, worth talking to but me. You know, there's nothing out there worth looking at but this, so you might as well just stay here. So he's lived this really isolated life just out in the woods. Now, when he's about, I think it's when he's about 14 years old. Like I said, this isn't gone into in any great detail. They just kind of like mention it at varying points during the story. At some point, when I think he's 14 years old, his dad kind of like packs up some stuff and he's like, yeah, here's all the stuff. Let's make sure you know how to hunt and do all the traps and everything like that. See ya. He doesn't necessarily say that he's never coming back, but he never comes back. So basically this 14-year-old kid is kind of left out there in the woods, at which point, it seems like the, you know, Child Protective Services becomes involved and they take him to an orphanage, and then he ends up with a foster family who, again, they don't really go a lot into it, but he ends up like really hating the foster family and like running away from them and stuff like that. But what the upshot of all this is that at this point, Eamon Buckley, you know, like I said, he doesn't know anything about his mother. He never met her. He never met any other family members. The only person he knew was his dad. And he didn't even actually know what his real first name was until he went into the system and like all the legal stuff came up. So he was having like a lot of struggles during his teenage years. And it happened that somebody sent him this book called Winterset Hollow by a guy named Edward Addington. And he credits this book with essentially saving his life, because he's like, there was something about this book that really like made me understand maybe my place in the world. The book Winterset Hollow, the book within a book. And actually there are passages, because the book is, you know, the book inside the book, Winterset Hollow inside the actual book Winterset Hollow, if that makes any sense, is actually kind of like, it's all written in verse. And it's basically a story, as I said, kind of like Watership Down or kind of like Winnie the Pooh, where it's like all of these anthropomorphic animal characters and with different personalities and proclivities and things like that. And they all live in a place called Winterset Hollow. And they have this thing every year called Barley Day, which is like their big like feast celebration that they have annually. And it kind of goes into, you know, them preparing for this big feast and like the personalities within. So this book really struck a chord with him and he read it many, many times. And it's really, as I said, kind of helped him sort of like get his shit together. So in the present day, I think he's meant to be like 19, 20, 21, somewhere like that. He's kind of, you know, a very shy person. As I said, the first part of his life, you know, he didn't know anyone other than his father. So he doesn't have a lot of social graces, but he has actually managed to befriend his two best friends, who are a couple, and their names are Caroline and Mark. And so the first part of the book is kind of just their fun, like, interactions with one another, which is actually really fun because I actually did like these three characters. They worked really well together. So Caroline is also really into this Winterset Hollow book. Mark seems like he doesn't really give a shit. He knows that they're into it, but he likes to kind of like make fun of them about it, because his big thing is like, oh, I'm so dumb. And it's like, I don't do this. He's not really that dumb, but that's kind of like the dynamics. They're always like picking on him for being dumb, and he kind of thinks it's funny. So he's just kind of like, this stupid book and I can't believe blah, blah, blah. But he's just, you know, razzing them like friends do. So at the near the beginning of the story, all of them get these coupons. They're given them by somebody at a bookstore or something like that. This all takes place in like the Pacific Northwest, by the way, Washington State. So they get these coupons, and the coupons are good for one ferry ride over to Addington Isle. Now, Addington Isle is this little bitty island off the coast of Washington State where Edward Addington had his estate, and where Winterset Hollow was written. Now, Edward Addington was from a very, very wealthy family. So the house that he built on this is a mansion, and there's like all kind of crazy, like he had these massive parties there, like back in the 20s and stuff like that. So all of that stuff is kind of still there, but it's been abandoned, or so everyone thinks, for a really long time. So Caroline, Mark, and Eamon, they get these coupons, and they're going to go take this ferry and they're going to do this little tour of this island, which apparently happens every year because coupons get given out. Because as I said, this book, inside the book, Winterset Hollow, is much like Winnie the Pooh, is kind of like, you know, beloved on a worldwide scale and has like a huge amount of fans, even though Edward Addington has been dead for quite a while. So they're going to go out there, and so they go on the ferry, and there's like a handful of other people, like other super fans of Edward Addington, and they're very jazzed about this as well. And they're super jazzed because the date that they're going out there is the same date as Barley Day, the feast celebration in the book that they all love so much. So the first part of the book, I did see that some people thought the buildup was kind of slow, but I didn't really mind that. I was just enjoying spending time with the characters and them kind of, you know, because the characters, the three at the, you know, the forefront or the center of it are actually really, really likable. So I actually really kind of liked their kind of, you know, just joshing with each other and stuff like that, like while they're on the way over there. So they get to, like, this guy named Captain Jean takes them out on this rickety-ass boat to this island. And they go, they all go there, and basically they're like, they're not allowed to tour the house or anything, really. You just kind of, they all wanted to go there to just kind of like drink in the atmosphere of their hero, like this guy that wrote this book that they all love. Now, it so happens though that while they're on the island, Captain Jean kind of gets sort of drunk and sort of passes out. A big, huge storm comes along. And Mark and Caroline and Eamon sort of wander off, and they notice, because they're, you know, everyone's just kind of like walking around the island wanting to look at stuff. You can see the house, but it's like off in the distance, and there's like a gate that's locked and everything. So they kind of wander off, and then they notice that part of the fence around the back is has been kind of taken down by like a tree that fell. And so they're just kind of like, well, shit, I mean, you know, no one's supposed to be here, and it's like we came all this way, so let's go out here and like check out the house, like get up closer to it. Like you can see some of the grounds and stuff, because like I said, this is like an estate. There's a mansion. There's this, they find like all this weird stuff. Like there's this one thing that's like almost like a gazebo. I pictured it kind of like a gazebo or like a big like raised platform. And it had like all these chess boards, like around like a sundial, like clockwork. And then there's like a big cage in the middle, almost as though someone was had to be trapped in the cage and was like playing all these other people like at chess. And there's even stuff left over from like old parties, and you know, there's like martini glasses and shit like that, because like I said, all the rich elite used to come out there and party on this island. So they're kind of wandering around looking at all that stuff, and then they go up to the house and they notice that there is, it's starting to get dark because of the storm and everything, and then they notice that there looks like there's kind of like a flickering light like inside the house, and they're like, what the fuck, like nobody's supposed to be in there. And then at that point, like I said, and this is spoiler, 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 like I said, if you don't want anything to do, like know anything about this book, I won't spoil like the whole end and everything, but this part was kind of like a part where I was just like, holy shit, okay, that's where this book is going. I think some of the synopses of the book actually do, you know, say what it's about. So I don't think I'm really spoiling anything that, you know, earth shattering, but so yeah, so they think somebody's inside the house and they're kind of like trying to look in there, at which point the door opens and an anthropomorphic talking rabbit comes out and starts talking to them. This rabbit is Runnymede Rabbit, who is one of the characters in the Winterset Hollow book. He looks old. He's got one leg missing, so he's got like a peg leg. One of his ears is all fucked up and it's like wrapped up in a scarf. But he seems like a nice dude, a nice bunny. And he's basically like, well, hey, you guys, you know, and obviously the Eamon is just like, can't fucking believe it, which is what would happen. Like, so you'd open a door and a big fucking rabbit comes out and it's like, hey, bro, what's up? You know what I mean? So he passes out and goes. So then it turns out all of them come inside the house. Eamon is unconscious for several hours. And then he comes to, and then he talks to Runnymede Rabbit. And basically, the upshot of it is, all of the characters from Edward Addington's book, Winterset Hollow, are real. Like, as in, they are anthropomorphic animals. They can talk, they can walk, they can act like humans, except they're animals. So the main ones are Runnymede Rabbit is the main guy, and then there is also Flackwell, who is a frog, and he's like a chef. And there's also Binghamton, or Bing, the bear, who is mute, but he has this big hammer. He's a builder, the builder bear. And then there is Finn, or Phineas the fox, who is the hunter. So these four characters essentially invite Eamon and his two friends, as well as all the other people that were on the boat, to join them in their barley day feast. Flackwell Frog is like one of the best chefs on earth, apparently, like according to, you know, everything that everybody says. And he makes this massive feast and all this other stuff. Now, you will note that this is, as I said, this is a horror novel. So you pretty much know that this can't be quite as awesome as it all seems. And you know that somehow shit is going to go bad. And indeed it does. It goes very, very, very bad. And massive carnage ensues. And that's kind of all I want to spoil, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on about why the animals are there, where they came from, what was the deal with Edward Addington and his house. And it's just kind of this really, it's kind of like a layered examination too of, and one of the kind of running themes throughout the book is sort of like, don't ever meet your heroes type of situation, because Eamon had pretty much based, I don't know if I'd say he based his whole identity around this book, but he was saying this book, you know, pretty much saved my life and made me feel that I had a place in the world. And then for him to find out that it wasn't, that it absolutely was not what he thought, and that Edward Addington, the author, was absolutely not what he thought, is really kind of like a really horrifying like revelation for him. So there's a lot of that kind of going through there, everyone kind of dealing with their own stuff. And even though the animals turn out essentially to be the antagonists, but you know where they're coming from too, and you can kind of like feel sorry for them because their whole history is kind of like laid out as well. So there's that too. Now, as I said, this is dark fantasy, but it does go in a very, it's very gory and it's very violent toward the end. Now, some people complained that the writing was too, I believe a word that was used several times was florid. I can see that, but it didn't really bother me. It just depends. The writing is very dense, very flowery. Not to an extent where you're just kind of like, knock it off. But so if that's not something you like, if you like your writing style kind of more terse and unadorned, then probably this might try your patience a little bit. I don't really mind it. You know, I don't mind that style. It's very descriptive. Like I said, it's very flowery. And, you know, he goes a lot into, like, when they do the barley day feast, he goes all into, like, all the different foods and stuff like that. But honestly, I didn't mind that because it really, this book really painted a picture in my head. And a lot of books do that, but this one was, like, really vivid. I mean, I could really see the way he described the inside of the manor house and the way he was describing this feast and the way he described the characters was just really, really vivid, and I could just kind of see it. And I was thinking to myself, God, this would make a great movie. You know what I mean? I think it would make a really, really good movie. I don't know if anybody would want to see it, because it's a weird, like I said, it's a little bit of a weird genre crosser, I want to say. There might have been other things like this. This gave me very much the same kind of vibe as some of like the darker children's entertainment. Like I said, like from the 80s, maybe like, you know, what, Secret of Nim, or like I said, or Neverending Story or something like that. Like some of Jim Henson's stuff, like Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal, things like that. So if you dug that kind of stuff, but want to see it more like overtly horror, like I said, the end of it or the second half of it goes very much in a Most Dangerous Game type of direction. And is very, very violent and very gory. Like people get dispatched in really, really horrible ways. So there's that. So if that sounds like something that you would be into, then you'll probably really, really dig this. It's, I don't really think that I've read anything quite like this, like with this particular combination. So I'm really glad that I didn't read the synopsis. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have necessarily read it if I'd read the synopsis first, but I don't know, because it's more dark fantasy, maybe I'd have been like, you know, maybe I'll read that later, I'll put it off or whatever. But because I didn't know anything about it, and I just liked the title and the cover looked cool with the bunny on it, because I was kind of thinking, I was like, oh, maybe it's like folk horror-y, you know, because it kind of looks like a folk horror thing. And I was just like, all right, I'm into that. And so I might not have read it until later, but I'm glad that I actually didn't read the synopsis and I read it now, because this was actually quite awesome. So if that sounds like something that you would be into, if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free, or if you would like to buy the paperback and support the author, you may do that as well. I believe he's an independent author too. His name is Jonathan Edward Durham, and I believe it's his first novel. So let me know if you've read it or if it sounds good and you want to read it, you know, and we'll have a discussion about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.